Well, now I think we're joined by Zafar Benkesh. Are you there, sir?
Yes. Hello, Phil. Yes, I am.
Hello, Zafar. Thank you very much for joining us. And I'll tell our listeners that we expect to speak to you again later this evening because we want to get your thoughts from an Islamic Muslim perspective on the way this campaign went. But we'll save that question for later.
That's right.
And, yes. But that'll come up tonight. So there, people have to tune in to know what Zafar's thoughts are on that matter. But let's... I think we have to have some war news here. We have the situation. Just name the names. One is in Yemen, where Saudi Arabia is happily bombing the poorest country in the region, and with the silent agreement, maybe loud agreement, of the Western powers. You have Syria, where the fighting seems to be taking an important turn, and also in Iraq. I guess what I want to know, the first question is, the Iraq and Afghanistan have both suddenly, I suppose to the shock of Washington, said to the Russians, maybe you should consider coming here. I mean, I don't think there's been a formal question, but what do you make of that?
Well, this is a very, very interesting development. First of all, in Iraq, because... since the Russian aerial assault on these terrorist groups in Syria that started on September the 30th, and just to remind your listeners that this was completely legal and legitimate because the Syrian government had specifically asked the Russians for help, unlike the previous American and its whatever allies activities were in Syria. They were completely illegal and also completely ineffective because they were not really doing anything or any damage to the terrorist groups. Mm-hmm. So when Russia launched its operations against these terrorist groups at the request of the Syrian government on September the 30th, so we are basically talking about a three-week period. In these 3 weeks, Russia has degraded these terrorist groups far more than what the Americans and their allies were able to do in nearly 16 months.
Mm-hmm.
So,
By the way, it might be argued that they actually weren't doing anything, isn't it? I mean, their behavior there is very suspicious now. In light
exactly.
of when the Russians showed what can be done, it makes you wonder, was all that talk about bombing really anything?
Exactly. In fact, there is ample evidence that far from bombing these terrorist groups, what the Americans and the British were doing was dropping weapons to them instead of bombing them. So... basically, it was just shadow boxing, as they say. It was just a pretense that the Americans and their allies were maintaining. But with respect to the Russian operations, the Iraqis saw how effective the Russians are in Syria. So they have asked the Russians to extend their operations to Iraq as well. Now, this request comes at a time when the Iraqi army has already launched a fairly significant operation in the area that these terrorist groups control, mm-hmm. particularly in the very, very troublesome Anbar province, but also its neighboring province of Salahuddin, where Iraq's largest refinery at Beji is located. But of course, the refinery has now been completely destroyed, yet mm-hmm. the Iraqi army was able to retake that refinery, and they have also taken full control of the city of Ramadi, which is the stronghold of these terrorist groups. So the Iraqi army is now coming down from the north, as well as pushing from the south, in fact, from three sides, from another place called Hawija. So there are basically three directions from which the Iraqi army is now closing in on this city of Ramadi. Mm-hmm. And naturally, their progress is a little slow because much of that area has been booby-trapped and there are snipers all over. So they are making steady but slow progress. Mm-hmm. And it is in this context that the Iraqi army has asked the Russians to help them as well.
Yeah, and by the way, what I find that it is clearly, people who spend any time looking into military tactics understands that air power works as support for ground troops. But when somebody says, oh, I just flew by and I shot somebody, that isn't military, that's not even tactics, that's just murder, and it won't accomplish. But if you have an army and it knows where it wants to move, air power is perfect.
That is correct, yes. In fact, that is what is happening both in Iraq and in Syria, because since the Russian bombing campaign in Syria, the Iraqi army and its allied militias have made significant progress in several areas, several provinces, including Hama province, north of Damascus, in the areas that the terrorist groups had controlled, in Latakia, as well as in Aleppo. So it seems that there is a whole range of areas that the Syrian army is now moving in a significant way against these terrorist groups, in conjunction with the Russian Air Force bombing the terrorist hideouts and their ammunition dumps, etc. Mm-hmm. And in Iraq, in fact, last week there was another significant development, and that was that the Iraqi intelligence was able to find out that the leader of the terrorist group, a man by the name of al-Baghdadi, as he calls himself, mm-hmm. he was heading for a meeting in Anbar province with his senior commanders. And Iraqi intelligence were able to get wind of this. The Iraqi Air Force was mobilized, and the convoy in which al-Baghdadi was traveling was bombed. And there have been reports. These have also been carried by the BBC, The Guardian, and a number of other newspapers, including the New York Times, mm-hmm. that al-Baghdadi was apparently wounded. To what degree is not known, but he definitely was wounded in this airstrike. Mm. And then, of course, he was whisked away from there.
At last, there is an Iraqi Air Force. I used to open my questions with you is, when are they going to get one? They still don't actually have a full Air Force, do they?
That is correct. In fact, you know, the planes that they are flying, there's an interesting history to this. In the year 2003, when the United States launched its it was even earlier than that, in 1991, the first time that the United States attacked Iraq, the Iraqi Air Force, about 30 or 40 of their Mirage fighters were flown from Iraq towards Iran. And Iran, they landed in Iran, and of course Iran took possession of those planes, and the pilots, they didn't mistreat the pilots in any way, despite the fact that mm-hmm. there had been animosity
between
them.
I remember that, a dramatic story.
Exactly. But now that Iraq, since the Americans pulled out of Iraq, Iran returned all of those planes to Iraq.
Wow. That is a story. That's a big
Exactly.
Definitely not on the... It's only on a tail report, folks.
Exactly. Each and every one of those planes was returned to Iraq, and Iran did not even ask for the Iraqis for any compensation for the damage that had been caused in the eight-year war. Mm-hmm. They said that that was done by somebody else. Now there is a new government. We want to have friendly relations with this new government. We are not going to penalize you for something for which you were not responsible. So those are the planes that the Iraqi Air Force is now using against these terrorist groups.
Talk about
Iraq.
Long-term thinking. Definitely that is the homeland of chess.
Yes, absolutely.
It is Iran, is it not? It invented chess, is my understanding.
That's correct, yes, yeah. Absolutely. And you mentioned Afghanistan. Again, you're right. Although Afghanistan has not formally asked for Russian help, but they are seriously thinking about it because these terrorist groups have emerged in Afghanistan as well. And last week, Russia and its CIS partners, the Commonwealth of Independent States partners, they agreed to set up a joint task force mm-hmm. that would protect the borders of these states from terrorist infiltration from Afghanistan. So in other words, the country...
Now, there's a healthy idea, a joint task force.
Absolutely. So this is basically countries that border Afghanistan, which would include Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, and of course, Kyrgyzstan. And all of these countries have agreed to that, to establish a joint task force. And they're thinking ahead. Actually, they are, you know, they know that if these terrorist groups were allowed to operate the way they are doing in the region, and unfortunately many of the governments are actually financing and supporting them, including the Saudi regime and Kuwaitis and Qataris and so on, and Turks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Russians as well as the Commonwealth of Independent States are taking precautionary measures to protect their borders and to protect their society.
Let me have one quick question I have to ask you is, Turkey now, and by the way, they have an election, I believe, coming up in November, but the leaders there seem to be dancing like a cat on a hot tin roof, as they say. They're very, I can't from day to day tell what it is they think is going on.
Yes, they have got themselves in a very big, deep hole, and definitely the Turkish people are certainly not in favor of the policies that Erdogan and his prime minister Davutoglu have formulated, particularly relating to Syria and Turkey's support for these terrorist groups. You know, your listeners would recall that last week there was a massive bombing in Ankara, and although the Turkish government is blaming it on these terrorist groups, the fact is that rally was held by the pro-Kurdish political party, and that party naturally has been targeted by Erdogan and his supporters because they made gains in the June parliamentary elections, and now unfortunately Erdogan is playing to this nationalistic Turkish card, arousing hatred against the Kurdish people, which is a very, very negative and short-sighted policy, because it is going to affect Turkey in a very negative way. And most Turks are not happy with this. They do not wish to have that kind of a policy being pursued. But unfortunately, Erdogan seems to be hell-bent. And he's causing a lot of damage to Turkey itself, because of the fact that he has, you know, pursued this very, very foolish policy vis-a-vis Syria and support for these terrorist groups, which the majority of Turks do not support. And I think this would be reflected in the November 1st parliamentary election that have to be held again, because in the June elections, Erdogan's party did not get a majority in parliament. It was reduced to a minority, and the parliament is dysfunctional right now, so a second election is being held. And I think probably the result is not going to be much different as far as Erdogan's party is concerned. It's not likely to get any more seats than it did in the last election.
Well, I'm glad you told us all that, and we'll look forward to talking to you in the future about that subject. It's Zafar Bengash, Crescent International. Thank you very, very much. We look forward to talking to you later tonight.
It's my great pleasure, Phil. Take care.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye. Zafar Bengash. Crescent-online.net, I believe. I'm doing that from memory. You are listening to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. You can write to us, taylor@ciut.fm, and we, of course, on the web, taylor-report.com.